Well, good evening, church. I have a good word from the Lord for us tonight. I'm excited to bring it to you. So let's pray and we'll get right into the Word of God. We thank you, Father, that you're here with us as our teacher, our friend, our guide, our comforter. Lord, we thank you that the Holy Spirit's ministry in us tonight builds us up, gives us comfort and strength and exhortation, calls us to that right place where we should be in you. And causes us to walk at that high level that you have called us to. Lord, we thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you're able to build us up through the Word of God and through the grace of Jesus and give us an inheritance among those who are being sanctified. We thank you for calling us to that wonderful place in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to begin tonight in Psalm 63:7. The Lord quickened this verse to me this week, and I knew it was just right for tonight's message. I knew it was the word that he wanted us to hear. And the title of the message is Singing in the Shadow. Singing in the Shadow. Psalm 63:7 in the New International Version says this: Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. The King James Version says, because you have been my help. In other words, David is saying here, God, you've got a track record. There's a proven history here. This is a place of proven trust, this place of being in the shadow of his wings. It speaks of being in a place of a trust. And of course, the imagery in the Old Testament is found in several places where the shadow of the wings is talked about. Of course, it's in Psalm 91, which we've been quoting for several months now due to the virus outbreak. And this image conjures up the idea of a bird, a mother hen, or any type of bird that would cover her little ones, her chicks, beneath the protection and shelter of her very own body. And David is saying here, I know that you have laid down yourself for me, God. You have proven yourself committed to me time and time again. He knew that place of covenant trust. And he said, in that place, the shadow of your wings, I will sing. Now, some translations don't even mention this idea of being musical in this place. Some other translations say, I will rejoice. Nonetheless, the point is this, that you can only sing when your heart is at rest. You can't sing if you're anxious. You can't sing if you're worried about the cares of life. But when you are in a place of joy, it just naturally sets your heart to singing. You walk around whistling, singing. You're in a happy mood when you're in a place of calm and trust. And that's what David is saying here. Because I'm trusting in your protection, your goodness, your proven history of commitment to me, Father, I will sing. I will rejoice in that place. And my heart would just be delighting itself. You know, it almost seems, it can almost seem carefree. There was an old movie I saw as a child called Song of the South. And many of you know the tune, Zippity-Doo-Dah, Zippity-A. And, you know, it's just one of those carefree, wonderful, happy tunes that we sing or have heard. If you've heard the song, you know, it makes you want to sing it. But it just sets your heart in a place of being carefree. You cannot sing and be laden down with care at the same time. It's impossible. You have to choose one or the other. And David says, I choose to trust. I choose to sing and rejoice. Now look over in Luke chapter 21 and verse 28. Luke 21:28. Jesus is discussing with his disciples one of those more heavy topics, like the end of the age. Not a subject we always like to talk about. It doesn't conjure up pleasant images for most of us necessarily. But Jesus said this in Luke 21:28, reading in the King James Version. He said, when you see these things, when these things begin to come to pass, all these signs he's just been talking about, things like great distress in the land, days of vengeance, signs in the earth, the stars, falling from the heavens, and woe to them that are with child in those days. These are some pretty heavy-duty signs, earthquakes in diverse places, famines, nations rising against nation. You know, one person translated that ethnic group rising against ethnic group. That's actually the meaning in the Greek language, I believe, in that verse in back in verse 16 when it says, "Nation shall rise against nation." We're certainly seeing that in our day. The devil is trying his best to arouse ethnicity against ethnicity. It's an age-old conflict. It goes back thousands of years. And Jesus said this. Remember, he's talking to disciples. What are disciples? These are people who have chosen, like a professional athlete, they have chosen a particular way of life. And in that choice, they're saying, I will go this way, I will not go that way. I will eat this food, I will not eat that food. I will exercise my body, if you were an Olympian, for example, I will exercise my body X many hours a day doing such and such instead of sitting on the couch eating potato chips. And Jesus says to disciples, these kind of people of dedication, when these things begin to come to pass, look up. Look up. And lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. One translation, the God's Word translation, says, stand with confidence. I like that. Stand with confidence. In the Message translation, which is always very colorful, he says, up on your feet, stand tall with your heads high. I like that. When you see these things come to pass, Jesus says, stand up on your feet. It's like a picture of someone being at attention. And then he reorients their focus. He says, stand with your heads held high. But in the King James, it's great too. Look up, look up. And that's a matter of where you're placing your vision. It communicates this idea that we are to have a vertical view versus horizontal. And saints, this is the temptation in times like this, especially with the extreme occurrences that have happened in the last week around our major cities. So much to garner our attention. And I must admit that I'm deeply concerned as well. I mean, I'm staying up with the headlines. I work in a part of downtown Houston that has been boarded up and put under, you know, recommended abandonment because of the activities going on at night nearby. And so I'm well aware. But Jesus says, when you see these things, he didn't say that, you know, these things aren't really happening. He acknowledges these things are coming to pass. These are realities. These are occurrences that will be going on around us. But he said, as my disciples, you must make sure that you maintain a vertical vision. Look up. Look up. Why? Because our salvation, our redemption, the word redemption means to buy back. Jesus is saying here, I'm coming for my own. So keep your eyes on me. Be looking to me. I'm on my way. I'm on my way for you. I love the verbiage in Psalm 23:5. It reminds me of that familiar word there. Psalm 23:5. Again in the King James where he says, thou preparest a table before me. Where does God do that? Right in the presence or the midst of mine enemies. Right in the midst of our enemies. That word in the Hebrew, the word for prepare, I looked that up and it's interesting, some of the ideas that are communicated there. It means to arrange, to set in order. Now that's interesting. So think about that for a moment. When the world seems to be falling apart into a state of chaos and disarray, God says for his children, we can actually focus on and be experiencing a world, if you will, like a bubble, a sphere of complete, perfect arrangement that is set in order. Yeah, you remember the movie Get Smart, and you had two opposing forces in that TV series. It was kind of a fun spy spoof. Back in the 70s, when I was a kid, it was running. I know probably the reruns were running by then. But you had two opposing forces, control and chaos. Control was the good guys that Get Smart worked for, and chaos was the bad guys that all the opposing side worked for. And, you know, that is the picture that we see here in Psalm 23:5, where God says, even in the midst of your enemies, those that are salivating for your destruction. I will set an order. I will place an arrangement right in that very place, in that very spot. And another meaning for this word prepare means to furnish, to provide for. God says, even in a world gone crazy, I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to arrange a king's feast, if you will, right there in that very location. And saints, again, this is what we're called to. Yes, it's one thing to be up on the times, to be aware of our world, but we're not called to the chaos of this world. We're not called to be burdened down, distracted by, depressed by, anxious over the chaos and the disarray that seems to be pouring in on us. We're called to a sphere where there is perfect order and arrangement, furnishing and provision of the feast of our King. You know, it's no surprise what we're seeing come out in the news. I have to commentate on it as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus. And I just want to say this, that I truly believe the enemy is trying to conjure up an elusive, a deceiving, and a distracting imagery and a lie, really, that there is more racism issue in this country than there really is. The reality is a lot of what's making the news headlines is being brought on by people who we know are embittered, they're angry, they're unforgiving, they're demonized, quite honestly. And, you know, hey, we know that our job's not finished in this world. I mean, it's obvious to us there are people out there that need devils cast out of them more than we've gotten to yet. We're working our way to them. Just take a number, if you will. So it's no surprise to us when these kind of activities and these riots make the headlines. The thing I want to encourage you not to be distracted by is all the social jabber about who's to blame or who's in the right or who's wrong or where racism still lies. I really don't believe there's near the problem of racism in our country as the enemy would like us to be distracted by. I really think it's a distraction, actually. And in this season, I really feel like our stance needs to be twofold. Number one, we're disciples of Jesus, which means as a disciple, I discipline my mind, I discipline my opinions, I discipline my emotions, I discipline my heart and my focus to stay focused only on that which Jesus calls me to. Only on that which he calls me to. What is the word of the Lord to us in this hour? Are we going to let the word of the Lord go because there is 24/7 alarming headlines screaming at us through the television or through the internet? Are we going to let that distract us from the quiet, gentle whisper of the Holy Spirit who's speaking to us daily about where we're to be walking in Jesus? We're to be winning our neighbors to Jesus. We're to be laying hands on the sick and casting out devils in Jesus' name. We're to be bringing the good news of the kingdom to a lost and dying world. And we can't be led by the Holy Spirit in accomplishing that if we're alarmed by the same outburst of news that are alarming the people that are lost. No, we're disciples of Jesus. We're disciplined in our faith. And we have to take this stance, I believe, this attitude that says, sorry, I know you want me to be alarmed by this. I know you want me to be caught up in the ruckus, to choose a side or to, you know, take up a poster and or take up a stance, take up a soapbox, take up somebody's angry position, take up some, generations long stance of resentment or anger or hatred. I won't do it. I can't do it. Father's calling me to dinner. Father has laid out a table before me. He's prepared a carefully arranged king's banquet for me. I'm his child, and that's where I'm going to stay. Look over in Romans chapter 4, verse 19. Romans 4, 19. Just going to read the first part of that verse. Listen to it carefully. Listen to these words. Sometimes to read the whole verse, we lose the meaning. It gets awashed in so many words. But sometimes if we'll pause and just cut and paste, if you will, certain small sections of a verse, it can have a more emphasized meaning to us. Listen to this in the King James. Romans chapter 4, verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. Talking about Abraham, who at the age of 100 gave birth. Well, he didn't give birth. Sarah gave birth. He seeded a son and enjoyed the promise of God fulfilled at age 100. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. That is astounding. Old people are always talking about their bodies. No matter where you go, the older they are, they got more aches, pains, and groans to talk about. You see it everywhere, especially if you're ever in a doctor's waiting room and you're surrounded by elderly people. You know, they're going to tell you everything about their aches, pains, and what's going on in their different joints. It's just what people do. They listen to their body and then they reverberate with what's going on in their physical temple. But it says here that Abraham, who is called the father of faith, the man of faith, considered not his own body. That, and that's at age of 100, 99 to 100. That's astounding that he had the discipline, the strength of will to turn his focus from that which was talking to him 24/7. Hey, let's face it. Something's going on in your body. There's nothing that's more distracting. There's a saying that says a man with a toothache cannot be in love. It's really true. It's difficult, let's say. Your body talks. Hey, the world around us right now is screaming for our attention, screaming for our input, for our opinion, for our anger, for our, our decision as to which side we take, this side or that. Don't fall trap to it. Don't fall prey to it right now. Stay focused. Look up, as Jesus said. Realize that our redemption is coming soon. We don't know how soon, but he said, he used the word soon all through Scripture whenever he talked about his coming. I think we should use the same verbiage that Jesus did. Look at one last verse here. In Luke chapter 10, verse 40, this was in our chapter of the day reading today. I noticed this. It stood out and it goes right along with what I'm sharing with you tonight about singing in the shadow. I sometimes struggle with almost a sense of guilt. I'll be going along in the morning, getting ready for work or getting ready for my day, and there'll just be a lightness in my heart, a singing, a song in my heart. I'll either hum it out, sing it out, whistle it out. And at times I almost stop and catch myself and think, well, gee, that almost seems irresponsible. That almost seems like, I don't care about the worries and concerns of this world. And that's exactly right. I'm not called to carry the burdens of this world. We're called to sing in that place of trust. That's what David said in Psalm 63:7. I'll sing in the shadow of your wings. That place of proven trust. Now look at one last verse. Luke 10 verse 40. Jesus has come to a meal. Notice what it says here. I like it in the New International Version. This really stood out to me. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. I mean, after all, Jesus, we have guests coming to dinner. We've got to get the chicken ready. It's in the oven now. And we've got to set the table. And we've got to make sure that there's oil in the lamps. The front mat is swept. These are preparations that have to be made. It speaks of life's demands. And sometimes we can get so out of priority that things that should be done become have-tos. And they distract us to the extent that that's all we can see. Yes, they are necessary. The scripture acknowledges that these were preparations that had to be made. The problem was that Martha was distracted by them. Do you see that? The Holy Spirit knows the cares of our life. And He acknowledges them in Scripture. He says it right here. These had to be done. But she was distracted by them. And when she pressed Jesus about it, He said this in the last part of verse 42. He said, Martha, only one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the better part, what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Jesus elevates Mary's focus and says, this is the place I want all my children to walk. Sometimes you got to let things go. And you know, when Jesus says, yeah, but, we have to stop and listen to what He's about to say. He said, yes, Martha, those preparations have to be made, but Mary has kept her focus. She's chosen the best part. And saints, again, I believe the Holy Spirit is just calling us up to a walk in which we have to make a choice between things that, quote unquote, have to be done, things that are vying for our attention, our emotions, our opinions, our time. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible. I didn't look up the reference, but I know it's in the Old Testament. It says, the Lord is on His holy throne. Let all the earth keep silent before Him. And boy, is there a lot of hot air floating around right now. I mean, everybody and their Aunt Jane's got opinions about what's happened in our country in the last week. I mean, you can't turn on any channel without somebody airing their opinion. This person, that person, celebrities, former politicians, anchor news people, people on the streets. Everybody's got an opinion. There's a lot of hot air. Summer has hit with a vengeance, and it's not coming from the sun. It's coming from all the hot air in the atmosphere. But there's a place of safety in quieting our soul from all the noise and the babble, and returning to that reminder of how loved we are. Jesus said, don't rejoice that the devils are submitted to you, but rejoice that your names are written in the book of life, written in heaven. He's saying, rejoice in being loved. Rejoice in being cared for, protected by me. We are covenant children. David understood covenant. That's why he said it that way. In the shadow of your wings, that place that protected me against the giant Goliath when I fought him, that kept me safe all those years I was running from Saul in the wilderness and from the wild animals in that place. In that place, that same place of proven trust, I'll sing. Every time I've taken time out to listen to the Holy Spirit within me, speak in tongues, sing in tongues, I'll notice real quick that my spirit gets very happy, because the Holy Spirit always dwells in a place of trust. He's never distressed by the world around us. Now, He may be grieved by sin, unbelief, but for the child of God that's in a place of trust and faith, the Holy Spirit has a song. He wants to place in your heart and keep it. It will keep you. That's the better part that Mary chose, and it's the part that He's calling us to. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You are preparing for us constantly a feast. If we'll only but listen, if we'll only but trust and be reminded of You, who are the covenant-keeping God, who have promised us the protection and shadow of Your wings, the goodness and provision of Your very own self. Thank You that according to the Word, You spread out that table, that King's feast for us, even in the midst of our enemies, even in the midst of those who hate us, we can rejoice. We can look up knowing that our redemption soon comes. We love you. We thank you for the wonder of your promise. It is real. These are true promises. And your goodness to us will be proven once again in Jesus' name.